kind of sentimental. We started a year ago today. Well, actually, a year ago tomorrow, but it was just on Friday night, last of August. Started out with a little Bible study, just a handful of us. The boy came a long, long, long way. It's good.
Thank the Lord.
Very nervous, like I always am. No, I think I know everybody in here, maybe a couple. I know more than anybody, I think I know about everybody. And most of y'all, some of y'all knew me from a long time ago. And you know what I used to be. I'm hoping at the end of the service you know what I am now. I ain't the same person you knew a long, long time ago. God set me free. He changed me. He made me a different person. I'm not what I used to be. I'm very, very thankful for that. Tonight, if you came and you have any sympathy for sin, you're going to hate me at the end of service. But I'm fixing to tear it up. Sin's what sent Jesus to the cross. Sin's what sends you to hell. So if you have any pets with sin, if you really like sin, you ain't going to like me. Okay? In the Church of God, well, I say, in where I'm at, and most of you guys do, if I'm preaching, I'm preaching against sin. I'm not going to have any sympathy for it. It cost me a lot of pain, a lot of scars. It took me to a place I didn't want to be.
Amen.
And by grace of God, I ain't going back.
Amen.
So I ask you to pray for me, very nervous. I'm so tickled to see a crowd this size. Never in dreams tonight would be this big. So, Father, we come to you, thanking God for how you've been so good to us. Lord, you set us free from sin. You give us the life, health, and strength, dear God. You've been better to us, God, than we deserve. Father, we just thank you now, God, for the people that's been here now, God, and it's good to see them. It's good to hear there's food afterwards, God, but Father, right now, the most important thing is to hear from heaven, God. So we pray, Father, you might help us. Let's hear what you have to say to the churches, dear God.
Yes.
I pray, God, if there's anybody here, God, that's not saved, anybody here that's downcast, anybody here who's struggling, dear God, you might bring peace, you might bring victory to their soul tonight, dear God. Help us, God, not to come in here and play church, Father. It's not just for gain, Father. We're here, God, because we think there needs to be truth brought forth in this county, so we pray, God, you'd help us. Use us tonight, dear God. Father, I pray, God, you'd make me a vessel, God, and you can do the talking, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll read three scriptures real fast, and then I'll get into the message. If you would turn to Isaiah 59:19. If you know anything about me, I talk real fast. So if I get too fast, holler at me, and I'll slow down, but I'm bad to talk fast. And this is not to amplify anything, it's just so good on the internet. Okay. Isaiah 59 and verse 19. It says, "So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, for His glory from the rising of the sun, when the enemy shall come in like a flood. The Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him." Isaiah 62. I'll come back and elaborate in a minute. Isaiah 62 and verse 6. "I have set watchmen upon the walls of old Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day nor night. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silent. Give him no rest till he establish, till he make Jerusalem a praise of the earth. And the Lord has sworn by his right hand and by the arm of his strength, surely I will give no more thy corn to be meat for thy enemies, and the sons of the strangers shall not drink thy wine, for the which thou hast labored. But they that have gathered it shall eat it, and praise the Lord. And they which have brought it together shall drink it in the courts of my holiness. Go through the gates. Prepare ye the way of the people. Cast up. It's just talking to the ministers now. He said, I'm talking to the watchmen of the wall. I want you to know something before I wasn't going to say anything. I was going to try to read it, but I get excited. Sometimes we think there's a watchman on the wall, and he takes care of the church. It ain't a one-man show.
Right.
He didn't say watchman. It said watchmen. There's a lot of people. God has watchmen that work together in unison, in unity, Brother Casey. And they take care of the flock. They make sure that the wolf don't get in. And when I say the wolf, I'm not talking about a little wolf. I'm talking about the devil. Gets in and he tries to scatter and divide the sheep, which is you, if you're saved. Okay, it says, Go through the gates. Prepare you the way of the people. Cast up the highway. Gather up the stones. Lift up a standard for the people. Behold, the Lord hath proclaimed it to the end of the world. Say ye unto the daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work is before him. And they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. and they shall be called sought out, a city not forsaken. And over in Jeremiah 50, verse 1 and 2. The word of the Lord spake against Babylon and against the land of the Chaldeans by Jeremiah the prophet. Declare ye among the nations, publish and set up a standard, publish and conceal not. Say, Babylon is taken, Baal is confounded, Moradoc is broken in pieces, her isles are confounded, her images are broken pieces. I want to talk to you tonight about the standard. Now, I know a lot of people think when I say standard, you're talking about my clothes and my hair.
Yeah.
Forget that. I'm not talking about... What are you going to do, Brother Clark? He says, when the enemy comes in like a flood, raise up a standard. What are you going to do? Hold a big old skirt up? Look here, devil. You can't touch me because I'm wearing a skirt. Brother Rusty, what are you going to do? I got short hair, so devil, you can't touch me. It ain't in your hair. Now, I am not doing away with it. God has a way for you to dress. He has a way for you to talk, a way for you to walk. But that's not what he's talking about. I'm not going to lift up my standard. I'm not going to lift up what I do to the devil and try to run him off. He'll beat me up.
Yeah.
That's not going to do me any good. He said, lift up a standard. And he told in Isaiah 62 for the watchman to lift up a standard.
Right.
To publish it in the highways. And here he said in verse 2, set up a standard. Well, what is a standard, Brother Rusty? First of all, what is a standard? Anybody got any idea what a standard is? What is it, Brother Pete?
Standard of flight. Our flight is Jesus Christ. Amen.
A measuring rod. It is. Jesus is our measuring rod. A standard is what you go by. It's what you measure by. If I wanted to cut a bunch of 6 foot two before, I wouldn't use a 5 foot two before to go by. I'd use a 6 foot two before.
Right.
It's a standard. It's what you measure by.
Right.
So if we look at our clothes, the way we look, the way we talk, so we all got to look like so and so. Brother Buster, come in a minute. I'll show you something. The ones who know Brother Rusty, would you say he's a Christian? Would you say that he's doing all that he knows to do? Okay, then if that's the standard, how do I measure up? I have to lose a lot of weight to get down to that. I have to gain some hair to get down to that. If this is what it takes to be a Christian, then I ain't going to make it. Because I'll never get that little. I never was that little to begin with. Okay, that's good. I just want to show you. If that is what we can't measure by each other.
Right.
I can't look at Brother Scott and say, I wish I had his talents. And that would make me a Christian. I can't play them. I can't play an instrument like that. But I can't play a CD. I can't play those things. That's not what makes him a Christian. That's not what makes me not a Christian. There is a standard that God goes by. What is that? Is it intellect? Brother Casey, you're probably one of the smartest men in here. I'm nowhere near in your class. But that don't make me any less a Christian. I can't measure my intellect, my talents, my size by anybody else in here. You can't either. None of you, no two here look alike. No here talk alike. No, it's not about the way we look and talk. That's not the standard I'm talking about. What is the standard? In James, the second chapter, well, I'll tell you what the standard is. Now it gets sticky. Here, if, like I said, if you like sin, you're not going to like me. Because sin is my enemy. James chapter 2, first 12 verses. It said, my brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect to persons. For if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring and a goodly apparel, and there come also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit here in my footstool. Are ye not that partial in yourselves, and ye become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken ye, my brethren. Hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? But ye have despised the poor. Do not the rich men oppress you, draw you up before the judgment seats? Do not blaspheme that you worship that worthy name by which ye are called. If ye fulfill the royal law according to Scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. But if you have respect to persons, ye commit sin. Now, if Bill Gates came in here and I offered him to sit up front, and then somebody came in here off the street and I put him in the back corner, I committed sin. We can't judge somebody by their character, by, well, it came by their character, but by their stature in life. by their money, their physical attributes. We got to go on their character. All they say is a Christian. It says, "For whosoever shall keep the whole law," I want you to get this. If you don't get nothing else, listen to this. "Whosoever shall keep the whole law, but Scott, and offend in one point, he's guilty of it all." Brother Rusty, I do a dart. I asked people if they had a dartboard. Nobody had one. But I got a dartboard, sort of a dartboard behind me. If I, Brother Rusty, if I were to go over here, now this is the standard right here. That pulls up. Anything less than that is sin. If I were to throw a dart and hit right there, that's real close. And in scoring, that would look good. Mm-hmm. But you know what? That's still sin. Anything outside of the whole law is sin. That's sin, and that's sin, and that's sin. You've got to be in the bullseye. God requires perfect holiness. If you don't know anything about me, the Bible teaches holiness, not me. I just repeat what the Bible says. If you don't like holiness, you're not going to like God, because He's holy. But anyway, Brother Scott, we have to hit the mark. I'm getting ahead of myself, but if you get over into Romans, the third chapter, it says, "For all have sinned." But that excites me, because it says all have sin. That's past tense. I have sinned, but thank God I don't have sin every day no more. But you know what that word sin means? What that word sin means? It comes from the Greek word harmatia, which means to miss the mark. Anything less than the bullseye, Buck Casey, will send you to hell. You say, "Well, you're setting the standard too high." No, I'm sitting where it belongs.
Yes.
For too long, religion said, you know, just come in, do your best, you know, put your little money in the offering, we'll forgive you. Anything less than perfectness is sin. And sin will enter there, Brother Rusty. I'm lifting the standard where it belongs. Jesus is what I measure by. If I don't attain to Him, then I have to pay the price. Now, am I saying He can't sin? No. But too many times in the church, I've heard people say, and we all know the Scripture, 1 John 2:1, "My little children, write unto you that you sin not. But if you sin, you have an advocate with the Father." Okay, we do have an advocate. But too many times we teach that as the rule. That's the exception, Brother Scott. Our rule is, do not sin. Do not sin. That is the standard we measure by. But just keep reading here. It says, "But if you, whosoever keepeth the whole law and offended in one point, he's guilty of all. For he that doth not commit, that do not commit adultery," says, excuse me, let me say it again. "For he that said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. Now if thou commit no adultery, but yet you kill, thou art a transgressor of the law. So speak ye, and so do ye." Here's a scripture I want you to do. "That they shall be judged by the law of liberty." What are we judged by? What's our measuring rod? That's right here.
Amen.
The Bible. You can't take one page out and say, "I'm going to live to Romans the third chapter," but don't live to John the fourth chapter. You can't take any page out. You have to take it all. When God says, whatever, if you want to know what God expects out of you, read your Bible. And nothing too, if you can't even read, never heard of the Bible. The Bible says, when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. So don't tell me that God's Spirit lives in here and lets you go out and sin. That's not going to happen. If you're out sinning, then you're a sinner and you need to get saved. There is no way that you can say, "I'm a saved man," and go out and sin. Habitually. Now, I'm not going to put it too high, but I am putting it where it belongs. The rule is, do not sin. This is what you're going to be judged by. If you don't like what's in here, you ain't going to like the judgment, because this is it. In John, the 8th chapter. So I told you the Bible is what we go by. That's what we go by. I can't go by Earl Wilson's thoughts, his theology. I can't go by what Rusty preaches on Tuesday or Thursday. I've got to go by this. "Thus saith the Lord."
Amen.
Now, I do believe that these guys teach that. But, Brother Rusty, if you go different than what the Word says, I love you, brother, but I ain't going with you.
Amen.
Because I won't be judged by Rusty Brown. I'll be judged by the Word of God and how I measured up to it.
Right.
Let me get to it. John, the 8th chapter. Background history, we know the story here. This woman was taken in adultery. She was caught in the very act. Well, first of all, why didn't they bring both of them, the man and the female? They were trying their best just to trick Jesus. They didn't care about justice, Brother Wilson. They didn't care about the law being broken. But all they wanted to do was trick Jesus. They should have brought the man too. He was guilty just the same. But anyway, here they are. They got the woman brought in front of Jesus. He knew the story. He said, this woman was caught in adultery. What are you going to do about it, Jesus? I'm paraphrasing. What are you going to do about it, Jesus? He said, the law said we stoned him. What you going to do? He didn't say a word to him. But he did say this here. Come down in verse 7. Very misquoted scripture. It says, so when they continued asking, he lifted up himself and he said to them, he didn't say to everybody, he said to them. Who's he talking to, Brother Wilson? He's talking to self-righteous hypocrites who came to him with a woman who broke the law, but they were breaking the law too. He wasn't talking to Christians. He was talking to self-righteous religious folks. He wasn't talking to everybody. He says, he that is without sin among you, self-righteous hypocrites. Not among the whole world. We can be without sin. He was talking to some people who just wanted to get Jesus in trouble. He said, he that's without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even to the last. And Jesus was left alone with the woman, standing in the midst. And when Jesus had lifted up himself, and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, woman, where are thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? And here is what the word says to your life. She said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin less. What does it say? Well, Brother Scott, why would he tell her to go and sin no more if it was not possible? Because he said this was our reasonable service, right? If Brother Rusty, give me $1,000 right now. That's unreasonable, ain't you? You know why? Because you ain't got $1,000, have you? He won't ask something that you can't do. Why would God tell her to do something that she could not do? It is possible. It was possible in her day to go and sin no more. It wouldn't be fair for him to tell her a commandment that she could not keep. That'd be an unreasonable God, a tyrant, would it be? So that's the, if you want to know whether you, the first measurement, don't worry about anything else. The first measuring stick, first mark on the stick is, are you got sin in your life? If you got sin in your life, you fail the first test, you need to get saved. Get it taken care of. Then, once you get saved, then you can get more knowledge, get more truth, then you can get a little higher on the stick. But the first stick, the first mark, is sin no more. Matthew, the 5th chapter. Anybody perfect in here? Better see some hands. Better see some hands. How is perfect? What do you mean by perfect? Matthew, the 5th chapter, and verse 48 says, and this is a commandment. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. That was not negotiable. That was not a good suggestion. That was a commandment. If it was not possible, then he is an unruly and unreasonable tyrant. It is possible. What does it mean to be perfect, Brother Scott? It don't mean without mistakes. It don't mean you're not going to bounce a check every now and then. It don't mean you ain't going to spill your coffee. It means that you are full age, you are mature, you go walking around as an adult. You're grown up in the spirit of things. You're living like Christ would live. You're righteous and holy. Exactly. Romans, the 3rd chapter. Romans, the 3rd chapter. You probably can quote this scripture. Romans 3:23. Says, for all have sinned. And that means everybody in this room, other than the ones, I don't think Zion has, you don't know what no means. But those who have a knowledge of right and wrong, you've already messed up, because all have sinned, Brother Casey. I don't care who you are. Thank God he says all have, past tense, sinned. Being therefore justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Now, I'm going to stop you. I heard a guy tell me the other day, I was talking to a guy before the revival started. I was trying to get him to come to service. And he goes to different denominational church. And he said, Brother Clark, that Jesus' blood had forgiven him of his past sins and his present sins and his future sins. That's a life in the pit of hell. That is not what he did. God did not come so you could have a license to sin. He did not come just to give you a bloody umbrella to hide under so that He can't see your sin. He came to set you right. Justified means that He puts you back in right standing with Him and gives you a fresh start. And what you do from that point is going to be judged from that point. It's not a get out of hell free card. But it says, now he told me this just last, a couple of weeks ago. He said that my past sins, my present sins, he's a preacher. His present sins, what's up with that? Okay. His present sins and his future sins. He's already got plans for some more. You tell me what's up with that. That is not biblical. God ain't in that stuff. So what I tell him, I told him this. I said, God said, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood to declare righteousness for the remissions of sins that are past, present, and future through the forbearance of God. They don't say that. They read that junk in there. These false prophets are sending people to hell by the millions. It said that His blood to declare the righteousness for remission of sins that are past. May 18th, 1969, about 11:45 on Park Lake Day. Everything before that date is gone. It's erased. But Brother Clark, May 19th, 1969, about 11:45, what was you doing? That's what matters. What are you doing August 27th, 2010? That's what matters. I am so thankful for May the 18th because He set you free then. But what's going to matter is the day that you meet God. How was it that day? Not the day that you came to an altar. He wipes the slate clean and gives you a fresh slate, but you've got it right on that slate. He doesn't just give you a free ticket into heaven. That's the falseness of false religion. Well, since we all sinned, every one of us has sinned, there's a penalty for that. Romans the 6th chapter, and verse 23. I heard a guy one time, Brother Wilson was telling about this story of a guy down in Florida. He walked around with you ever seen those old cartoons and the little guy had the sign on both sides that said, Eat It, Joe's? That's probably for your time. Remember those things, Pete? Looney Tunes or whatever? Eat It, Joe's. Well, this guy had one of those two-faced signs, and it said, for the wages of sin is death. For the wages of sin is death. It didn't give any hope. It was just, you're all doomed, you're going to hell. There's no way. There is glorious. There is something better than that. That he was partly right. He told half truth that the wages of sin is death. But praise God. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Amen. We don't have to stay under that under old bondage of sin. We can be set free. If you're not free tonight, you can be tonight. You don't have. If you brought sins in here, please don't take them out with you. What if you were to meet God like that? I don't care if you've been in church. I don't care if you was born in the church building and never left. Eat, sleep, and drink there. That don't make you saved. That no more than going to McDonald's makes you a hamburger. If you ain't saved, if you ain't living free from sin, if you're not measuring to the standard, then you ain't going to make it. I can't, Brother Rusty, I can't sugarcoat it. I can't make you a Christian. If you don't line up with God's Word, you may line up with Brother Casey perfect. You and him may be two peas in a pod. But that just means two lost peas in a pod if you ain't meeting God's standard. Nobody. We're all standing individually before God, and we'll give account for what He's done in this body, not in a collective body. 1 Timothy, the 2nd chapter. God has the perfect will for all of us. He wants us. He has something in mind for us. I'm not talking about where you work or where you live. He has something He wants for every one of us. He is interested in our place of abode and our work, but His main goal is what's going to happen in the end, Brother Clark. If you want to know what God's will is, here it is. 1 Timothy 2 and 3. For this is good and acceptable in sight of God, our Savior, who will have. This is His will. This is what He wants from everybody. I mean, everybody from the youngest to the oldest, shortest to the fattest. It doesn't matter. This is what God wants for us all. We all fit under this umbrella. This is what God wants. Who would have all men to be saved? Well, thank God. If you're saved now, thank God. But that's not the end of it. That's just the beginning of it. You didn't win the race. You didn't get the trophy yet. All you got was the starting gun. Now it's time to go to work. It says, who would have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth? And then, Brother Rusty, whenever you get more knowledge, you got to live more than you used to do. You can't live like somebody got saved yesterday because you know better. You got more light. You have more truth. But thank God for that is when he gives light, he gives. With light comes power to live the light. The Old Testament said, don't do this and left you alone. You had no power. But since the Spirit of God came in, he gives us new commandments and gives us power to keep it. We don't have to live in that kind of situation. I don't have to come every day, every week and bring an old goat and cut his throat and sacrifice it. Thank God for that. He said he sacrificed once.
Yeah.
There's no more sacrifice needed. Ephesians, the 5th chapter. The glorious thing about the church of God is, and if you hadn't found out before you got here, you came to what we call the church of God. But it's not this building. This is a library. We're in the basement of a library. But you know what? This right here is the church of God. The church of God is anybody who is saved, living free from sin and living all that they know, and are willing to move up when God brings new life. That makes you saved. You go back into sin, that makes you a sinner. That don't make you a saved sinner. That makes you a sinner. I'm not a sinner saved by grace. I was a sinner, but now I'm saved by grace. Whether you like it or not, some people don't, if you know me, don't think I am, but I am a saint. I ain't got to wait till I die and then see if my corpse rots before they find out whether they're going to vote on me like they do the Catholics and say, let's vote and say, I think Scott was a good man. Let's make him a saint. But Scott, if you didn't make yourself a saint, I can't do it for you.
Right.
Your life here is what's going to determine your eternity, not me. Ephesians 5, I didn't even turn to it. God's got a church. And he said in Matthew, the 16th chapter, verse 18, he said, upon this rock, I will. Now, who said that? Jesus said, I will. Not Earl Wilson, not Preston Center, not Casey Davis. I can't build God's church. All I can do is work and labor for him. He has to build it. He said, except my Father draw him, no man can come to me. But if we'll work for him, he'll build a church in us. He didn't lay the brick in the foundation of this building, but he built the church. He wasn't talking about a building or a location. But he says that he might sanctify it. That word saying, don't let sanctification scare you to death. Some people think you have to do it in one work or two work or 100 works. Sanctification means it sets you apart for a service to God. All it is Pete, as you say, you know what? God come to you and say, Pete, you're doing good. But now, if you do a little more for me, I give you more light. You say, Lord, not for anything, I'll do it for you. Let me show you something that God showed me. And this ain't, I can't put this on nobody because this was Preston's burden, okay? If you know me, I love goats. I love to be a goat herder. I ain't a goat herder anymore. I wish I was, but I am not. But I'll tell you why. Because God came to me one time, and he said in Hebrews, the 12th chapter, verse 1, it says, I didn't even write this down, just come off the top of my head. It said, let's just read it. This was not in the outline. Hebrews 12:1 says, wherefore, seeing we also are capacity with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, comma, and the sin which does easily beset you. That word beset, though, in case it means to control you. If you notice, I said comma when I said that. That was not an accident. We always thought that the weight that besets us is sin. Anyway, it said, they said, lay aside every weight and the sin. There's two things that can control you. Sin will control you, but there's things that will control you. But the case, whenever I was raising goats, you can count on at least an hour to feed and water. That's if nothing got out. If nothing has tore down the fence and nothing's got out, it's at least an hour every day. Well, God showed me, he said, son, could you give up those goat herding to work closer for me? If I had those goats, it'd be hard for me to get here tonight. I couldn't make it to Marion because I'd be out there at 6 o'clock just feeding and watering. It's impossible. I said, God, I'll do anything for you. Now, that's silly. But God sanctified me a little more.
Yes.
And look where he brought me to because I gave up my goat herder. Maybe in heaven I get to be a goat herder. I don't know. Maybe I get to build hot rods in heaven. I don't know. That's what I want to do. Build hot rods and raise goats. That's my passion. But I have a greater passion than that. That's working for God.
Amen.
Now, I'm not saying if any of you got to give up your goats or give up your hot rods. When God comes to you and says, Brother Wilson, or he'll say, son, will you give up this?
Yes.
That's what it means. That's what it says, that he'll sanctify you. He'll set you apart more. He'll ask you to do a little more and a little more. And as long as you're living, I told you the standard, okay? Say you had a mark right here, and you lived up to this right here, there ain't nothing else you've got to do until God raises the bar. When he raises the bar, you either got to grow or go. Okay? There is, you can't stay in God's kingdom if you don't grow with him, Brother Casey. But It's a reasonable service. Anybody who's saved, been saved very long at all, can tell you, he ain't unreasonable. He said his commandments are not grievous. It says that he might sanctify and cleanse it. What? His church.
Yes.
He's going to cleanse it. How? By the washing of the water, by the Word. The Word is the standard. And whenever you sit in the service and God shows you great light, that He's all He's trying to do is wash you and bring you a little higher. Don't get mad and run. Don't get mad at the preacher. Don't quit going to service.
Yeah.
Go to the altar. Don't go home. Get it taken care of. Here's why He wants to do that. I'm painting the picture that's high and lifted up. He is holy, holy. The angels cease not night and day to say, holy, holy, holy. Lord God Almighty. He's worthy. He's worthy. Okay? Well, I'm just trying to put Him back where He belongs. He's worthy here on earth, we praise, too.
Amen.
But He's going to have a glorious church today. Now, Jesus is a holy bridegroom. He's not going to marry an unclean bride.
Right.
He's not going to do that. If you don't want to talk about the bride of Christ, what I'm talking about, that's the church. That He might present it to Himself, a glorious church. If you go in a place and they teach you still have to live in sin, you better run for your life. They're lying to you. They're feeding you rat poison.
Yes.
It'll send you to hell.
Yes.
It says He'll present to Himself a glorious church. What does that mean, Brother Rusty? That means it's high and lifted up. The people? No. The fact that God's living in those people. That's what makes them high and lifted up.
Yes.
They might present to Himself a glorious church. Not having spot. Not spots, okay? It didn't say spots. Not having spots. Not one spot. You can have a... This shirt here is yellow, I think. I'm colorblind. I think it's either yellow or orange one. Is it? Okay. Peach, whatever color it is. It's not white, anyway. If I was to take an ink pen and put one little dot right here, it's dirty. It's got to be washed, if it can be washed. I don't have to speckle it up like a little Dalmatian. One spot makes it wrong.
Amen.
Okay? The church will be glorious. It will be without spot.
Amen.
Without wrinkle.
Amen.
Not wrinkles, okay? Or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. That's the standard. If you've got blemishes in life, you know now. If you came in and didn't know that, now you know. Now you're accountable. If you had sin in life, now you got to measure up. You have two choices when leaving that. I'm either going to go forward or go backwards. You can't stay still. You either get closer to God or you get farther away from Him. Titus, the second chapter. Titus 2 and 11. For the grace of God that brings salvation hath appeared unto all men. You're without excuse. God's grace hath, that's past tense, appeared unto all men. We've all had a chance. No man will stand before God and say, well, I never had a chance. You may have never said in a good congregation and heard the truth. But the grace of God that appears unto salvation hath appeared unto all men. No man will judge God wrong and say, you didn't give me a chance.
Right.
Teaching us that denying ungodliness. Here's some more of the standard. This is what God's going to judge you by. That denying ungodliness. What is ungodliness? Sometimes, Brother Wilson, we think that everybody knows Christianese.
Yeah.
The language that Christians talk about, sanctification, justification, you know, all this stuff. Make it simple. What does ungodliness mean? Ungodly. Not like God. If you're not living like God, then you are ungodly. But he says here we need to deny that. And worldly lust. Now that word lust, people think of it as something bad. It means a desire. You may have a desire to do something. You may have a desire to build hot rods and spend your time building hot rods instead of doing what God wants you to do. There's nothing wrong with hot rods. Pete back there has probably got 30 or 40 of them. There's nothing wrong with hot rods. But if that is taking your affection away from God, that is ungodly. He says, but we should live soberly. That don't mean without alcohol, but it does mean that too. It means we have a clear mind. We live holy and righteous. Righteously. What does righteously mean? Living right. It ain't no big deal. It means you live right. And godly. Or in other words, live like God. In the future world. It don't say that. It says we must do all these things, Billy Clark. We got to deny ungodliness and worldly lust and live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. If you're not living it now, you won't make it then. You cannot go to heaven. You cannot go to the judgment with sin and Him put you in. It ain't going to happen. I told you, I'm against sin. Not against anybody. If you brought sin in, I love your soul. I want to help you. I didn't come to degrade anybody. I didn't come to put nobody down. I came to lift up Jesus. Lift up. I came, but Scott, he said in Isaiah, that the watchmen are to lift up a standard and publish it. That's exactly what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to lift up a standard before you. Where you can measure to. 1 John 3:6. Anybody that can read it all, or anybody that can listen and hear this, and still say that you live in sin, something's wrong with you. Because this is, you can't get no plainer than this. Anybody, now I don't know where you guys attend service. I'm not throwing stones at you. But if you hear this from the pulpit and they say, well, you know what? I'm just no sin like you are. Run for your life. If he says, you know, you sin, I sin, we all sin. Run for your life. He's lying to you. If he says that no matter what you do, once you get saved, you can still go to heaven, he's lying to you. That eternal security is the most damnable heresy known to man. Yeah. It came from the pits of hell. Yeah. You cannot. It's possible that you get saved and make it to heaven, never backslide. But there is a possibility of that blood wrestling that I can backslide. I've done it before. 1 John 3:6. If you don't hear holiness preach where you're going, you better get out of there. I don't care. Don't come hear me. I wouldn't like to hear myself either. But you better find somebody to tell you the truth. Because the truth is what sets you free.
Amen.
It said, whosoever abideth in him, sinneth not. I need a commentary to tell me that I can still sin. What does it say? Whosoever, that means whoever. Abideth means abide and keeps on abide. That TH is not a funny way of spelling the word. It is an old English literary term that means to continue something. He that abides and keeps on abiding in Him, who? Christ. If you get saved, you're in Him. You must stay in Him or abide in Him and continue to abide. He said if you do that, you sinneth not. That means you don't sin and keep on sinning. People got these DD and double LD, big old title behind their names. And tell me I'm still going to sin? It don't make sense. It don't say that. Whosoever. Now, Brother Rusty, I'm not going to read it. Brother Rusty, read that real loud. So I'm not biased.
Whosoever abideth in him, sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth, hath not seen him, neither known him.
Uh-oh. If you're sinning, you don't know him. I didn't say that. Brother Rusty just read it. He didn't say that. He read what John said because God told him what to write.
Amen.
God said, if you're still living in sin, you don't know me. That's what Brother Clark said a while ago. He said, many shall say in that day, Lord, Lord, did we not do many things in your name? Cast out devils? You've done all kinds of things for me. He said, I never knew you. You know why I don't know you? Because you're still living in sin.
Yes.
Little children, let no man deceive you. Why did he say that? Why did he say, let no man deceive you? I think through the prophetic eye, he knew that there'd be up there, people out there twisting the scripture, deceiving multitudes.
Right.
Didn't he say, I think Paul said that after my departure, grievous wolves shall come in not spare the flock?
Right.
Peter said that there are deceiving teachers even now.
Right.
People have always tried to deceive God's people. He said, let no man deceive you. He that doeth, or that means he that does and keeps on doing righteousness, is righteous. I thought the scripture says, there's none righteous, no, not one. What do you do with that scripture? Well, I'll give you another one. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. If I can't be righteous, I ain't got no business praying because it ain't going to do no good anyway. I can be righteous. I can be set free.
Yes.
I can be set free in this present world. I'm going to say it real slow so it's no confusion. He that committeth sin is of the devil. You can't twist that. I read it word for word, verbatim. That's exactly what it says. He that committeth sin. In other words, he that commits and keeps on committing sin. If you habitually live in sin, you are of the devil. All I did was repeat it. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. He never was in heaven. He never was a choir director in heaven. He may be a choir director on earth, but he never was in heaven. He never smelled the gates of heaven. He don't know anything about it. It says, because the devil sinneth from the beginning. He's always been a sinner and always will. For this purpose, if you want to know why Jesus came, he didn't come to set up no kingdom over in some desert country so we can all try to squeeze in a little bit small country. He came, here's the reason he came. For this purpose was the Son of God manifest. This is why Jesus came. That he might destroy, not forgive the works of the devil, but destroy the works of the devil. When he destroys it, he does forgive it. But he don't want to come and forgive you, Brother Wilson, today, just so you can do it again tomorrow, so he can forgive you tomorrow. He come to destroy the works of the devil. What's the works of the devil? Sin. Plain, it's plain. Whosoever, now listen to this. These big educated people got no education. They got no sense. Whosoever is born of God. How are you born of God? How? They were one born of God, right? As Jesus. No, we're all born of God if you're born again. He said in John 3:3, you must be born again. How is that? You come to God. I heard Sean Hannity, and I like Sean Hannity something, but he said the way you get born again was you get baptized at birth and you get confirmed when you're 12. All you got was wet and deceived. You didn't get saved. That didn't do you no good. He thinks he's bound for heaven because he got a little sprinkle and then he got a little paper. Exactly, yeah. That didn't save him. Whenever he came, to get saved, if you want to be born of God, you come face to face with God and say, God, I've sinned against you. And I want help. You don't have to make a big elaborate prayer. God, forgive me a sinner. And mean it from your heart. Get up and leave and go away and plan on not sinning again. If you get here, come down here to get reprieve, or in other words, get your conscience cleaned up, and you plan on doing it tomorrow, don't just stay in your seats. Because you're not doing anything. But if you come here and you really want to change, Jesus will set you free. He'll give you a new life. He'll give you a new standard to live by. And the power to do it. Exactly. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. How do you read that wrong? Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God. Okay, now, there's two families in the world. I ain't talking about the Wilsons and the Sanders either. I'm talking about there's two families in the world. You're in one of these two families. Tonight, I don't care if you're who you are. You're one of these. One of these guys is your daddy right here. In this, the children of God are manifest and the children of the devil. There ain't no third family. You're either a child of God, a child of devil. You say, well, I'm a pretty good fellow. Well, that's good. You're a pretty good child of the devil if you're not saved.
Right.
Yeah, pretty good don't get you. Pretty close to that dot didn't get me anywhere. I got to be bullseye.
Amen.
Exactly. You got no half-breed. You got no grandchildren. You got all children. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Exactly. You can't serve God and mammon. You can't hold on to the world, hold on to God too. It ain't going to work. That's right. He has to be first. He won't be second. He won't even share first place. He sure won't. It says, in this, the children of God are manifest and the children of the devil. Here's how you figure out. If you want to know, here is your birth certificate. Whosoever doth not righteousness is not of God. If you're not doing right, if you're not living to what I just told you, not because I said it, because God said it, then you're on the left. You're part of the devil. Neither he that loveth not his brother. I quoted 1 John 2 and 1. 1 Peter 4 and 1. For as much then as Christ has suffered in the flesh, arm yourself likewise with the same mind. Have the same mind Christ had. Here's what it says. He that has suffered in the flesh hath, which is past tense, ceased, which is past tense, from sin. You have sinned. Are you talking about Christ? No. Christ never had sin. If he did, his sacrifice is no good. We're all still sinners. He's talking about us. Whenever we come to God in his mind, we have to cease from sin. We don't slow it down. We don't change our habits. We don't do better. We cease from sin. Hebrews, the fourth chapter. Our last scripture. Some of you got my books. You guys know me. Some of you knew me before I got saved. You tell me, is there anything different? Am I different than what I used to be? Don't go ahead and say it right now. But you tell me, I found something. Hallelujah, I have found Him.
Amen.
I am not the same person. No, I am not the same person.
Thank the Lord.
If you knew anything about me, I mean, I'm totally different. Still like goats, still like forwards, that's it. Still that same last name, but that's it. Everything else has changed. My thoughts, my actions, my attitude, my conversation, my friends I hang around with, the places I go, the work, students hang out at work. But nothing else is the same. He made a change in me. Hebrews 4 and verse 14. Seeing then we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feel of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. He knows what it's like to be tempted. He knows what it's like to have problems. He knows what it's like to have no money. He had to have Peter catch a fish just to pay his taxes. He knows what it's like to lose a loved one. He had to go raise Lazarus from the dead. He knows what it's like to be forsaken whenever he's on a cross with nobody around. He's been through it all. I can't go down your list. If you have a problem tonight, God knows what you're going through because Jesus was tempted in the same way. But the good thing is, without sin. Now, if He comes in your heart and the temptation comes to you, you can live without sin. Tonight, I've tried to lift up Jesus to you. I've tried to tell you what you have to live to. I've tried to give you a standard. I have done what Isaiah told me to do. I have lifted up a standard and I have published it. And that standard is living free from sin. This is your standard. This is what's going to judge you. Not this book. This book, believe it or not, this is leather and paper, will burn. But the things contained in here will stand forever. It will judge you in the end. You will not go and stand for God with another law. Thank God for it. Because if we didn't know what to live by, we got to the judgment and had to be like a surprise quiz, we'd be in trouble. We know what the final quiz is, and we give us an open book test. All we got to do is just live to this. Now, Brother Clark, you come on. Now, tonight, if you came with sin in your life, leave it here. If you came with discouragement, leave it here. You come with needing a touch in your body, leave it here. God is here to say, He is an all in all God. Now, I told you when I first started, these little chairs ain't nothing but chairs just like you're sitting in. But if you come down here, you can meet this Jesus I'm talking about. He'll give you power to live like I told you to live. And He won't expect you to do something you can't do. That's all I got. I believe the last